Said she hate the way I apologize. Said she hate the way I apologize. Said that she deserve a better guy. Hate the way I apologize. Said she hate the way I apologize.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of us if you want us to watch your movies. Also, join our Discord, Sports Brewery and Discord. That is the actual place you should be if you want to give us movie suggestions or list ideas for the sports podcast, all that good stuff. Sports Brewery and Discord. If you need an invitation to that, we can send you a link. It's good stuff. Twitch.tv/abrog87 if you want to watch that sports podcast every Thursday night at around 7:30. We did it Wednesday last week because of Halloween, but normally it's Thursday nights. If you miss those, then you can watch them on YouTube. I post the full podcast on there, also the segments from the sports podcast on there. So just search for Sports Brewery on YouTube and you'll find us. You can watch us, whatever. Back to normal movies this week. No theme month, as Spooky Month ended. So Ski's movie is Escape from New York. It is on Prime Video, came out in 1981. If you have not heard us talk about Escape from L.A., once you're done listening to this one, listen to us talk about that one because we watch them out of order. But yeah, go find that too. Escape from New York, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.1 on IMDb, 76 on Metacritic. It obviously stars Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken, Lee Van Cleef as Hawk, Ernest Borgnine plays Cabby, Isaac Hayes plays the Duke, Donald Pleasance plays President, Harry Dean Stanton plays Brain Hellman, Adrian Barbeau plays Maggie, and Tom Atkins plays Remy. Written and directed, John Carpenter. Known for Halloween, the Halloween movies, even though he only actually directed the first one. Also, Big Trouble in Little China.
The Thing was his big one. He also kind of left out, I only found this out on this watch through, the voiceover in the beginning of the movie, like the narration, Jamie Lee Curtis does that.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Uncredited, I think.
Yeah.
She's not
in the final credits of the film.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting. Yep. I was not aware of that.
I was not aware of that.
King, were you aware of that? No, I was not aware of that.
can I just say, was it just me being in a foul mood, or was the introductory credits like 9 minutes for this movie?
Forever.
Okay, thank you.
So,
okay.
Yes, but I'm going to preface this. The one good thing I hope you guys could agree on of 80s movies was that at least they come up with their own scores, like their own music for things. The opening, like, because the opening credits of just like listing off the names is almost 4 minutes long. And then it goes into Jamie Lee Curtis voiceovering like what's happening. But the music in that opening credits is one of the best original scores for a movie.
I will agree. Yeah. 70s into like mid 90s sitcoms, movies, the original scores were tremendous. Like Robin Thicke, actor, wrote like Silver Spoons and I know it's not Facts of Life, and like they were original songs.
So yeah, he's a legend for TV show theme songs, by the way, Thicke. So
It was like guys cared about it. They didn't just pay off some artist for
it wasn't a Chapel Roan song.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't those lazy ass Bond people now that just get like, oh, Sam Smith, come do the Bond theme. Here you go.
All right. I can't follow you with that one.
I know, because I love the Bond themes. They're all great. But yeah, it's and they are original. They write them specifically for the Bond movies. But give me someone with a synthesizer in the 80s. Yeah. They're going to make a hit better than that.
Yes.
Give me George Clinton doing a Bond.
Some P-Funk. Uh-huh. Yes. All right, back to the makers of this movie. So, by the way, John Carpenter, I think we can say he created Michael Myers. He created Snake Plissken. That's his legacy.
Extreme character development guy.
That's creator. A, that, It's a legacy you can't mess with. So this movie, also co-written by Nick Castle, who also wrote on the movie Hook and directed the movies The Last Starfighter, Major Payne.
Oh, so good.
And Dennis the Menace.
Oh, that movie's great.
Yeah.
Nothing but heat coming from Nick.
Was Don Lemon in that one?
It was Mathau. Was it?
Walter Mathau was.
Walter Mathau.
Think of Jack Lemon.
Jack Lemon. Yeah, Don Lemon's ex CNN guy.
Yeah, CNN dude. Don Lemon.
The New Year's Eve guy.
Yeah. Let's see. Budget for this movie $6 million. Box office $50 million.
Probably a lot in 81.
Totally. Essentially the exact same plot as Escape from LA.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's weird that I saw Escape from LA first. But watching this one, I'm like, why did it just copy Escape from LA in this one?
Right.
And you know, this is missing, though. It's missing a dude like riding a wave.
Yes. Like,
yes. It totally is.
Missing the wave, I don't know. And it's missing Bruce Campbell. That's, you know.
Because I don't know if you noticed, they had someone that looks eerily similar to Steve Buscemi in this movie as well.
Yeah. Harry Dean Stanton.
No, the weird, like, right hand man.
Oh,
of,
the long hair dude.
He had the spiky hair, and he looked like Buscemi, like. And then they also had the scene of, I mean, you're not going to beat the basketball scene in Escape from LA, but they had the same like gladiator scene in this
they
one.
Did.
Where he fights the guy.
And I had not seen this movie in 15 years. I viscerally got upset when I was like, it's like the basketball scene, but not as good.
Not as good.
By the way, that is the theme for this movie for me. Like, Escape from LA ruined Escape from New York for me. Because I'm watching this and I'm like, this is just not as good as the second one. Like,
so you're saying this elevates Escape from LA for you?
The opposite. No, this is worse than Escape from LA.
No, so I'm saying it elevates Escape from LA, because I'm pretty sure I gave it like a 4 and you guys gave it like a 2.
Escape from LA is better than Escape from New York. Yes.
You got to factor in it was like 12 years later, you know, different times of early 80s and early 90s.
I was surprised.
This does make me feel better about Escape from LA. Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at my personal drop of the movies. Like, it's like, oh. L.A. was, I guess, like the World Series. L.A. was a lot better than New York.
Yeah, West Side is the best side. Everybody knows it. Been saying it for years.
I still think L.A. just gets knocked down for just the awful special effects. Right. I would say the special effects were, like, better. Well, because they almost didn't even use it. They used, like, stuntman flying helicopters and shit. The only special effects was really the glider into, oh, God, I forgot about the beginning of this movie with a plane heading right for the fucking Twin Towers.
Yeah, I wrote that down. That's something I was going to talk about. By the way, that's like a theme for me this week, because I shared that picture with you guys in Discord where I was reading the Spider-Man comic. Mm-hmm. And it was the Spider-Man comic written in 1991. It's the Todd McFarlane one. And there's literally like Colossus attacks the World Trade Center, and one of the World Trade Centers is fucking burning in the image in this comic book. And then I watched this movie like a few days later, and sure enough, a plane flying right at the World Trade Center, and I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening?
And the only reason why they didn't go into the World Trade Center is because they needed it for him to be able to land on.
They couldn't crash the passenger airline into the World Trade Center because Snake Plissken needed to land on top of it with his stealth glider.
Yep.
You know, by the way, like, landing on the top of the World Trade Center, I think they said it was like 50 floors. I think it's actually more than that.
I think they said they only had control of the elevator for the top 50 floors, and then you got to go by stairs.
So he had to go by stairs. He went up and down those stairs like 6 times, I think. Like, he is dead. Like, there's no way. Like,
Snake Plissken, man. He could do anything.
I don't care who you are. You're going up that many damn stairs. Like, you could be a Navy SEAL. And, I mean, Snake Plissken kind of is, but, you know.
Yeah, he was.
You're still dead. You have no legs when you get to the bottom of that fucking thing. So, just.
Now, the question.
You're
so sweating, question,
at least.
Question for you. Since you hadn't seen this one, and you've seen the second one.
Yeah.
Did this answer any questions about Snake Plissken for you. Because they give a mini backstory about his his military, you know. Van Cleef goes like, oh, you were fighting and all this.
No. And it was funny.
I love laugh. That question, Ski. Yeah.
I did laugh because they talked about the Kansas City thing, right? Which you guys talked about when we watched the second one. It's like, yeah, the Kansas City thing's from the first one. They don't tell you shit about it.
So. Yeah, because there's two. There's the Kansas City job and the Cleveland job.
That's right.
And the Cleveland job is the one where Brain like left him, but he like escaped. And the Kansas City job is the one where he got captured. And that's how this movie starts. Right after he got captured. Yeah.
He got captured in Kansas City. And then, okay. All right. I guess so. I learned something.
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah. Because the second one,
I just know he really doesn't like Brain.
And he didn't like, remember, it was Pam Grier's character in the second one. Also, that was on the same job.
Yeah. Am I remembering this wrong? Like, was Pam Grier like a dude in that?
Yeah, okay. That transition.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
Still would.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question.
Even with that voice modulator they use for Pam on it.
100%.
Yes.
And
are you asking me? Yes. Yes, I would.
Oof. Woo. Wouldn't last long, but yes.
So you guys are the two movies I was picking was between this and Jackie Brown.
Oh.
And I was gonna pick Jackie Brown just because it's fantastic, but I wanted Brog to actually see this movie since we watched Escape from LA.
I am glad that I have now seen this movie. I honestly I was probably gonna watch it at some point anyways, but I'm glad I got to watch it, and then we can talk about it too, because we did watch the second one, so it just sort of makes sense. So again, like, listener, this is the same plot as the second one too, basically. So it's set in the future in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, like, 97 was good times. Like, 90, like late 90s, that's a sweet spot, baby.
Where was Wu-Tang Clan down in fucking Manhattan here, you know, cruising in New York City?
Thank you. Where is Old Dirty Bastard?
Yeah.
Like, we got an island of Manhattan. What about Strong Island?
Was he up at Staten Island? Like, what was, yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, where's the Killer Bees of Strong Island? You know what I'm saying? Like, where are they at? Yes. I'm told they're nothing to fuck with, but apparently this movie didn't account for that. So, So in 1988, crime goes up to 400% in New York City.
I think I saw that on Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I was going to say, that happened on the Kamala.
Kamala. Yeah.
Went 400%.
I'm an MSG, but right down the road, the state is poisoned. Not here. Out there.
You have a safe haven in Trump Tower. Manhattan Island becomes a prison state, and the police are now an army in Manhattan. So once you go in, Jamie Lee Curtis, we now know, said, you don't come out.
Now,
other than the people who do.
Now, I'm mad at myself for not fully knowing the timeline here. Like, I don't know how long since New York that he was recaptured for L.A. Because if you remember kind of the plot of the second one, you know, there clearly a new president came into power, and then there was the big earthquake on the West Coast. But we never find out, like, what happened to the prison in Manhattan. Is that still going, or did they just add another hole? Prison for the West Coast.
So in the year 2000, a massive earthquake strikes Los Angeles, cut it off.
We have a producer doing his job. Listen, this is a drop. In the year 2000. Thank you, producer.
Thank you.
In the year 2000, a massive earthquake strikes the city of Los Angeles, cutting it off from the mainland as the San Fernando Valley floods, declaring that God is punishing Los Angeles for its sins.
It sounds like a political rally right now. That's insane.
Yep. So that earthquake happened, and then the movie is set in 2013.
All right. So 16 years post this, Yeah, but they still never say what happened to New York's prison colony. I guess let's assume it's still there.
Yeah, a lot happened in between New York and Los Angeles. Like, what? We need a series about what Snake was doing.
Snake's doing, yeah, he's out about causing mischief for 13 years before he gets caught again. Yeah.
How many children did he sire in those years?
You think he was causing mischief, or do you think he just moved to one of the Dakotas and just kind of like decompressed for a decade?
Oh, no, he's causing mischief.
Yeah, but like what?
It'd be, the tagline would be like, trouble finds him wherever he goes. Yeah.
Again, 8-part miniseries. Give me all of it. Figure it out, John Carpenter.
All right, Ski, say that line in a villain voice, or, you know, trouble finds me.
Oh, as Snake?
Yeah.
The Snake voice. And the tagline would be like, I don't find trouble. Trouble finds me.
That's awesome.
That's great. I love it.
That was perfect.
Now, I will say, you know, I am a massive fan of Kurt Russell. I am a massive fan of this franchise. I have thoughts of a prequel movie for Snake Plissken.
Oh, you got a manuscript?
I have the plot. It's not fleshed out, but there's a plot there, and it's great. It's a little prequel of before he becomes Snake.
Ski's been from Cuba?
Like, nope.
Cuba. Ski's been sitting in Starbucks, dude. He's been writing his life's work. Like, we're ready. Let's have it.
You know, here's the rub to it. You know, I'm not gonna let this movie get made unless Wyatt Russell takes over as the new Snake Plissken.
I like your morals. You won't let it get
made. I won't let it go. Nope.
This man has scruples, kids.
Fucking big Hollywood, you ain't getting a hold of this unless Wyatt Russell.
You cannot have my script. Nope.
Nope.
Wyatt Russell. I mean, yes, I am on board. Sign me up. So what is the plot? Like, what are?
So it's a pure prequel of.
Yeah.
It starts, you know, Snake's in the military, still has both eyes, and, you know, he's just Lieutenant Plissken, right? Shit goes awry, loses his eye because some fucking higher up, like, doesn't listen to him, and then he turns bad, and then it goes into the Cleveland job of when shit. His first like big heist.
That's like season 3 is the Cleveland job. And then
it'd be a movie, obviously.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking TV show still. I don't know. Like, cause I'm saying, like, you could make a franchise out of this.
Wyatt's got too much stuff going on. He can't do a full series for multiple seasons.
You think he would say no to this? Mm. No, he gets offered Snake Plissken. He says yes. There's no doubt. I know he's already doing like Marvel stuff or whatever, but Snake Plissken is.
So in your movie, is Snake like the original LeBron where he's there to save Cleveland? Like, is that the whole thing? Like,
well, yeah. And then he turns villain after it as he goes to Miami. Yes.
The Cuyahoga River is burning. Yeah. Perfect. I don't know what to talk about.
I'll throw here's a little quick. All right.
How about Ernest Borgnine as the caddy?
Always a fun name to say.
God damn. Like, I don't get him in this movie. Like, why is Ernest Borgnine in this movie? Why does he act the way he acts? And why?
Well, that's just Ernest Borgnine.
Okay.
But they did it. They did a redo in L.A. with Buscemi. They kind of fleshed out that cabbie guy, you know, Map to the Stars Eddie. That's kind of probably what they wanted the Borgnine character to be. But, you know, maybe with cuts and stuff, they had to just make him kind of this weird, jolly cab driver that just kind of shows up occasionally.
Why does
he saves the day with the tape?
He does. He saves everybody in the end. Here's something they didn't explain, and it was also in the second movie. Like, why does everybody know who he is?
Because he's fucking Snake Plissken. He does big robbery jobs, and, you know, he's infamous.
Is he?
Because
he was like a military guy. Like
D.B. Cooper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just everyone knows. Yeah. He's like someone at Cheers, you know? Just everyone knows his name.
Everyone knows him.
I guess. I'm just like, why does this random cabbie, like... Why does Ernest Borgnine's character...
First off, it's Ernest Borgnine. He knows everything.
Recognize him just by looking at him. Like,
because he's seen Taxi Driver. He knows the look.
Yeah. I mean, it's a guy with an eye patch that like only wears leather. There aren't too many of those people out there.
Dan Crenshaw is still around, so.
With how about with flowing locks of hair?
You got me there.
There you go.
I tell you, Kurt Russell, that's a 10.
Is he still with Goldie Hawn?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What a great couple.
Oh. Yes.
Overboard, baby.
They've lasted forever, man.
Yeah.
Man,
sustained. I know. The Kurt Russell's like aspirational, you know? Like Kurt Russell had like a short like pro sports career he was going for. Got a little injury, so became like one of the best
famous
actors.
Dad and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like...
exactly. Famous dad, like became like one of the best actors ever, like reluctantly, didn't really want to do it, but you know, just was like, all right, I'll do this. This is fun. Meets like one of the most beautiful women on earth, like in
it. Oh, 80s, like, 80s and early 90s, Goldie was definitely
like beautiful and funny women on earth. Yeah.
Wildcats, man.
Like, Wildcats.
And then getting married and having like really talented kids and like still
inherits
all these years later.
He inherits like two talented kids and then produces a third.
Yes. It's like crazy.
How would you like to be that ex-husband? Like, how can you hate the new husband though? It's Kurt Russell.
No, totally. Like you do as much as you can to be in those kids' lives just so you can be around Kurt Russell.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that would suck. You're like, I'm a really successful CPA. I make $670,000 a year and I only work part time. Why am I the loser?
Yeah.
His dad's Kurt Russell. Well, fuck.
I mean, this is also like Captain Ron era Kurt Russell too. No man is beating out Captain Ron for their woman. Sorry.
No, you kind of got to throw your hands up at that point, right? Just like, you know, acceptance. Like, you know, the universe doesn't want me to be married to Goldie Hawn, you know? Like, it's not going to happen.
Even Captain Ron, the wife and like daughter, like start fawning over him.
Yeah.
Weird thing about Captain Ron, they show titties in it. Very odd thing for like a borderline children's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 90s were weird.
They're trying to have Martin Short bang a chick in a shower. Very weird.
Yeah.
Things we didn't pick up on.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, right? It's a little jarring.
Martin Short, one of the few people that can have comfortable sex in a shower stall.
Yeah.
He's Martin Short.
In a boat shower. Yeah.
I'm just saying. We've all been there. It's not as hot as it looks.
It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Okay. What do we want to talk about with this movie, Ski?
I do have another little fun fact for you.
Yes, please.
Adriana Barbeau. I can't remember her character's name in this, but...
Maggie.
Maggie. She was married to John Carpenter.
Okay.
I believe they met on The Thing, which was just before this, and then gets married and is like, oh, yeah, I got a nice movie for you to kind of star in.
Totally. She was good in this, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like,
I would say
Maggie character was awesome. Like, one of the best characters in the movie, I think.
I mean, honestly, all the acting was fairly decent. Mm-hmm. There weren't really anyone that was like, oh, man, that was a weird 80s actor there.
Yeah, nobody stood out as bad. Even Lee Van Cleef was great.
I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah, obviously. But like that character was awesome. The way he interacted with Snake was awesome. Like, yeah.
Even as like right, you know, Lee Van Cleef's like right hand man, the other like military or police guy was good too. He has the mustache. I've seen him in a bunch of other things too. But
what's the that was Tom Atkins.
Atkins, yeah.
Remy. Yeah. What was like the deal with the Call Me Snake and then Call Me Plissken at the end? Like, I don't
just
get
a that's just a classic Snake thing. He does it in the second one too.
I don't get it.
He's just against the establishment. If they're calling him Plissken, he says, you call me Snake. If they finally get on board with him and they start calling him Snake, you know, you call me Plissken.
That's like a weird stance for like a military guy, you know? Like,
well, the military jaded him on like patriotism in America. Now he's against the establishment, and I borderline forgot to the ending of this movie. pretty much the same thing. He does the old switcheroo on the president and walks off with the tape that would have, I guess, like stopped a war.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, like the end of this movie is nuclear war. So like the end of civilization, just because he's like, fuck that guy, man. Like, you know,
but the second one, he hits the button that like sends the EMP that knocks all electricity out.
Yo, this guy's just a drag, you know. I think everybody should die. Yeah. This guy sucks.
And again, same thing. They shoot something into. How did he not learn the second one? Like, don't let him shoot something into your neck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's I don't know. It's like supposed to stop some virus that's down in the, you know, the prison system. Nope, it's a bomb. They keep shooting into your neck there, Snake. Don't let him do it.
Beginning to think he gets hit in the head too much. And isn't that smart a guy? Yeah.
I mean, he's been shot and hit by arrows and bonked over the head by Isaac Hayes. I mean, he's got at least some CTE forming.
I immediately thought of the Ace Ventura thing when he got shot in the leg with an arrow. I was like,
I think I'm going to say it again. When Nature Calls is actually a very good movie.
And that's the one where they had where he comes out of the ass of the rhino.
Yeah.
God damn. I can't believe, like, I haven't seen that streaming anywhere, by the way.
Nope.
Like either Ace Ventura movie. I wonder what's the deal with those. The mines on the bridge didn't really work for me. Like,
poorly executed on it. Good idea, poorly executed. I'll say,
like they had a map and you couldn't really, like, he was wrong on the map the whole time, and like they kept just running. Like they didn't slow down at all. They just kept like driving as fast as they possibly could with no direction. And then when they got out of the car and just started running, and like did not care where they were going, and then randomly, and the car blows up. It just cuts it directly in half, and Caddy dies, but everybody else.
Yeah, Born 9 dies too,
unscathed. So
there is an easy hack to this. There's like a little ledge off the road that you could just walk on where there's not going to be any mines on.
Yeah, yeah, it's how bridges are. They have that like little walkway.
Pedestrian walkways that are off the main road.
Yes. Especially ones like big ones, like in New York City. Like they really have that stuff. Yeah. By the way, they did make a bridge in New York City look really small in this movie too. That's a one lane bridge.
Shot on location. So
no, it was not.
Yeah, that was south of Hoboken.
This was shot in Jersey for sure.
For sure.
Get those panoramic shots of the city just so you can film in Jersey.
So we should talk about like the boxing quote unquote scene, because that was weird. It wasn't boxing. They gave him like weapons. There was like a spiked bat. There was like a trash
garbage can shield.
Yeah, for shields. And yeah. And the guy who was fighting was like an old timey wrestler from
definitely was an old wrestler. 100%.
No, but like from the 20s, because he wore like a Tarzan thing and like was just really out of shape and old and like just big hairy back. Like,
I mean, that was Andre the Giant's era. So.
Yep. Yes. It was classic. Like, but like the thing about those wrestlers is like they weren't athletic at all, and they were just like old and slow. So like the fact that this dude was like hitting Snake at all is, I was like, dude, just you're actually athletic. Like, just run around him and hit him with the bat. What are you doing?
The fight choreography, not stellar.
Was bad.
All it was just they just like traded blows right into their trash can lid shield until like Snake tripped and got behind him and just walloped him in the top of the dome.
It was like a play the way they were fighting. It's like, all right, you do this move, I do this move. Yeah. Ah, like Sharks and Jets. You know?
But then it was great again. You get the Snake chant after he wins, like the basketball one as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it really soured me a little bit not being the basketball scene.
He wins over crowds with his
in the Coliseum. I mean, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I was disappointed with that too. It's like you can't use like a worn down Madison Square Garden or something like that. Like, come on. They use like the Fox Theater or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. they use like no New York landmarks at all, basically, which,
like I said, I don't think they were able to shoot in New York. So,
no, not big enough yet. Not big enough yet. Yep. I get it. Still would have been cool because they sure as hell nailed that with the Los Angeles one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Got a few minutes left. Anything else you want to talk about on this, Ski? It's your movie.
No, like I said, it's. I'm such a proponent of the second one. It's better in my eyes. Like I said, the special effects kills it to make it seem cheesy, but it's better.
It's better.
And they keep that same like music theme going in the second one too, so you don't lose anything. You lose a little of the grittiness of the 80s in the second one, but it's just better. Yeah. Sorry to say.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I didn't really enjoy this movie very much.
No, like, it was much more boring this time
it's
around.
Boring. Yeah, this is kind of a boring movie, and I was bummed because I wanted to like it, because I had heard so much about it, and Escape from LA was like, it wasn't the best movie ever, but it was like, at least it was fun, like it had some fun things in it.
The problem is,
this one didn't really have any of that.
Like, if you saw this first, you'd probably be like, oh, that's pretty cool, good idea, great character and stuff, and then you see the second one, it's like, all right, this is just cooler and better.
Yeah.
Like you can see how this would be awesome in 1981.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Cuz
movies were generally slower in the early 80s, mm-hmm. and you know, like,
and honestly, outside the first 20 minutes of credits, the movie's only like an hour and 30 plus minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
It breezes by in a cool 39 minutes between the credits on both sides.
Okay, let's grade it. Ski, it's your movie.
What's it out of this week?
Five? Let's. I want a 5-part miniseries of the show that Ski's talking about. The movie. I want to turn it into a 5-part miniseries. So let's make this out of 5.
All right. I think I gave Escape from LA, I think I gave it a 4 when it happened. So I'm just going to knock this down a little bit to like a 3.75. Because I still love the 80s stylings. I still love the music. And I still love Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
Can never be bad.
I think the fact that this movie introduced the world to Snake Plissken should keep it above like a bad score. I'm going to give this like a 2.
Oh!
Yeah. I got to say, like,
you just said, I don't want to give it a bad score. Yeah. Give it a 2.
I was thinking lower. Like, I don't think this movie's very good. Like, I don't know. Like, I liked parts of it. Like, Snake is obviously awesome. But, like, there isn't much else. Like,
I will say it's lacking on all the other characters for entertainment purposes.
And like King said earlier, it's kind of boring. Like, it's, yeah.
They're very just to the point in this movie. Just like, here's the mission, accomplish it. Not a ton's going to happen in between.
Yeah.
I'll give it a respectful 3 out of 5.
Thank you, King.
But like, again, you know, Yanks or Dodgers over Yanks, Randy Newman over Frank Sinatra, Escape from LA over Escape from New York.
Dubs up.
Snake Plissken, the most famous Mamba in LA. Who's to say?
I can't disagree with you.
I certainly can't think of any others.
No.
Do they? They don't have. They have any statues of Snake Plissken in Los Angeles? They should.
They might in Cleveland.
Definitely not Kansas City though.
Not Kansas City. No, definitely not. Cleveland though.
Oh man.
I am borderline surprised there isn't like a snake statue in like Manhattan somewhere.